I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I don't think we're celebrating San Diego FC enough for what they are doing in this inaugural season. Welcome back, Ben and Woods. Get back to some Padres talk here in a minute.
It's easy, and I know why, by the way. I know why, because we're ignorant about soccer, and we feel embarrassed to make a mistake. I was watching the game last night, and I was listening to how they talked about the game, and I went, oh, yeah, no, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't, but I know that I really enjoyed that.
Like strategy?
Strategy, the terminology, Paulie, and I'll be completely honest with you. I don't want to sound like a buffoon. I already sound like a buffoon enough to where, like, they deserve so many accolades, not just for what they've done, but how they do it, right? How they do it. And I don't know enough about it. That's why we got guys like Darren and Craig.
But you don't have to be soccer savvy to make a couple of simple observations about what San Diego FC has done. So there are, I believe, 30 teams in MLS, just like in Major League Baseball. They don't divide them into divisions, though, of five like they do in Major League Baseball.
Right.
They just have the two conferences. It's a big, long, they call it the table.
15 and 15.
The standings. 15 teams in the West, 15 teams in the East. So picture every National League team just jumbled together into one big pile of standings. If you did that right now, Padres, they'd be sixth in their big pile of standings, which is fine, you know, just good enough to make the playoffs. They're right there, doing okay, 8 games above 500. If you threw an expansion baseball team into a big pile of National League teams, had a, you know, 6 weeks to tell, all right, one spring training to get all together, you're just a jumble of guys that we've pulled from, you know, different teams and different countries, and you go, you're a team now. I don't care how well you picked your expansion players. That team would be near the bottom of the National League. There's just no way they could come together that quickly to be the best team, better than the Dodgers, better than the Mets, better than the Cubs, to have the best record in the National League. I think it would be completely impossible. So what SDFC has done now, by taking over first place with their 5-3 win over the Vancouver Whitecaps last night on the road, they have moved to the top of the West standings. 36 points, 11 wins, 3 draws, 5 losses in their first 19 games. That's unbelievable. That is stunning that they could get off to such a good start with, you know, a brand new coaching staff comes in. They've never coached together. Players who have never played together from all over the world trying a new style that Mikey Varas has implemented, a ball control, quick passing style that a lot of people said, I don't think that's going to work in MLS. And it has. And it's worked stunningly fast. And here they are, sitting at the top of the table midway through the season.
What a win. What a win. I think it was one of those games, after we talked to Craig on Monday, we talked to Darren about it last week, one of those games where you're like, hey, man, just go up there and don't die, right? Against the best team in MLS. Go up there, don't die. Don't get, or in the best team in your division, don't get crushed. Never going to want to play for a draw, but you would have absolutely settled for points there. Every single time on the road. And so to watch them come out last night, and of course, I mean, Ben, Ilowski last night was insane. I watched, I put the game on about 2 minutes before he scored his first goal. And I went, well, that's awesome. Now you're off to a nice hot lead. 10 seconds later, bam, another one.
I saw the first one, and then I thought, is that a replay? That looks different somehow. And I go, no, he must have just scored again.
Then another one.
I missed that one. All right, that's two. Wait, that's three. That's a hat trick in 9 minutes.
4 goals in 12
and then right out,
minutes?
Right out of the shoot in the second half, scored the fourth goal. Which we learned is called a haul or a poker of goals.
It is unbelievable. It's called a haul?
A haul.
Oh, I like that. Or a what?
A poker.
Poker.
Yeah, I think they said it was something to do with like four of a kind in poker's like, you know, top hand. So it's a poker.
Poker? I absolutely.
Didn't know. Just trying to learn as everyone else is trying to learn.
Fister? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Poker.
A fister is what they call it. Because if you hold your fist, actually,
four
that's five.
Fingers? Yeah, five.
That's five.
That would be five goals. A fister. A poker for four.
Poker absolutely. For four.
A fister for five.
Fister for five.
I like that.
Dude, he was awesome. It was awesome. He is a guy that doesn't start for this team and he's not a starter.
Not usually.
And, you know, obviously Mikey Varas looking like a genius right now. Somebody tweeted last night, what's the baseball equivalent of this? And I said,
four home runs in an inning?
I said, it's a guy that every time he comes off the bench, he gets a big knock for you. And then you go, huh. Maybe we should put him in the lineup and see what he does. And he gets four huge knocks for you, you know, in the first five innings or something.
Just looking
it was
at
crazy.
The box score of the match, it's 35th minute, 37, 44, and 47. That's unbelievable.
It was so cool, dude. So cool to see.
Here's the concern.
It's like Messi running around high schoolers in an indoor soccer game.
Yeah, exactly. In the media game. Right? It was crazy, dude.
Here's the concern, and here again is my soccer immaturity showing. The SDFC acquired Alaski on a loan back in April from the Dutch sister club. The loan only lasts through July.
Oh.
So in a month they have to give him back, I believe. Now is there a way, like, we can't give this guy back? He is he's playing incredible soccer. He's been a lightning rod off the bench, you know, sparking goals just every time he goes in there. Is there a way they can extend loans, like get another loan? How does it work? Is this other team going to go, hey, he's playing really well.
We
want him back.
Good.
He loans up. We're not letting you keep him. We want him back. I know there's a relationship between the clubs through the owner and the Right to Dream Academy, but honestly, I don't know exactly how that works. I mean, you can actually loan in soccer. You can borrow teams from other like teams in your division. Like,
yeah.
It would be like the Padres sending, I don't know, Jackson Merrill to the Giants for a month or two. You can do that in soccer, which is so strange.
So strange.
It's usually someone who's not getting playing time on your team. You want them to develop, and instead of just wasting away on your bench, you can let them play for someone else. But
like a Camposano when he was here?
Yeah. We're going to loan Luis Camposano to another team so he can actually, you know, catch and hit. And then when he's good, we get him back, and like you get a better player, hopefully, on the back end.
Alex is Steve 79 says you can buy him. So you can.
Do they have the option to buy? Is it kind of a
It's a loan with an option
Remember
to buy.
Remember when they used to advertise all those like lease-to-own payments?
Yeah.
Like, I never totally knew how that worked either.
Me neither. The loaned-out player can't play against his original team, too.
Oh,
that makes sense. You can't play against
your
team.
So if you loan Jackson Merrill to the Giants, he doesn't get to play.
Correct.
And you have to go to San Francisco.
What spies can we send over to the Dodgers that won't beat us?
Hey, the Rockies are playing the Dodgers this weekend, and we're only two games out of first place. Hey, Manny, you're going to go out to Colorado.
Yeah, go out to Colorado.
That's
really
the Rockies.
Funny. No, it was such an exciting match, man. It is so... Dominic says everything about soccer. He's learning, too, right? He says it's strange, the terminology, the standings, the business. Agreed. I agree. I'm such a moron about it. I fully admit it. But I want to know. I want to learn. I want to be better. And because last night was electric. I'm laying in bed. And here's the funny thing is, so I got the notification on my phone that says season four of The Bear starting now. And I went, oh, yes. I texted you guys.
Yeah.
And then I go, SDFC's on. I need to check in. You know, for my job. I'm going to check in and see how the boys are doing. Man, like I said, 30 seconds after, goal. Then I go, I can't turn this off. I have to watch this. Now, I did fall asleep later in the game, but I saw all four goals and you know, Vancouver tried to make it interesting. It really wasn't interesting. They dominated last night, and now they're in first place. And we've said it before, man, getting a chance to talk to Mikey Varas a couple times, that dude's a different animal. He's a different breed. They are going to be a fun team, hopefully, for years to come.
Going to get him back on the show maybe the week we get back from Philly.
Would love it.
I think it's time for a check-in with Mikey Varas.
Would love it. See how the locker room smells.
Meanwhile, before the game, MLS announced the All-Star rosters, and expansion SDFC landed three players on the All-Star team with Anders Dreyer, Chucky Lozano, and Captain Jeppe Tverskov, all going to represent the MLS. It's a MLS versus Liga MX, so Mexican League All-Stars against MLS All-Stars on July 23rd in Austin coming up. That'll be hot, won't it? Austin, Texas, Austin? July 23rd. That sounds toasty.
It's horrible.
But they all three, and I saw yesterday Paul Arriola, another soccer guy, saying he says, not too late to add Milan Alofsky to your all-star team with, what, like 260 minutes or something this season. He has 9 goals.
It's insane. The other guys you were saying have...
like 1,700 minutes, yeah. Who have 9 goals. But he's done it in like 260 minutes. So now it's a quick turnaround. Now, this is the double week, and on the road a double week, as SDFC goes to Dallas FC on Saturday for their next game to try to keep the momentum going. Remember, Vancouver does have the game in hand. So even though SDFC is in first place, they have more points. Vancouver has an extra game to amass points. So that's it's kind of, you're sort of in first place, but you're sort of... you don't control your positioning in first place.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So it does, and I just said that to move the conversation along.
Pauly, how did you enjoy the game? Or did you watch The Bear?
I watched The Bear.
Okay, so spoiler-free, quick, how many episodes did you get in?
I only had the stomach for one.
Just one episode?
It wasn't that bad, but the show in general is anxiety-triggering.
I saw a couple of people who watched, like, binged it last night.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Oh, the whole fourth season's out.
What?
And they said might be the best one. Yeah. So that's all I saw. I'm going to watch it at some point, but I don't know when I have time for it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Megan and I watched one episode, and I just, the credits are rolling, and it's like, you know, next episode, little meter's starting to fill.
No.
I think I'm good. Like, let's slowly get through this season. Because I did. I'll need to schedule a therapy appointment.
Well, I did something that I never do. I usually get that and I dive right in, right? And of course, I was going to watch SDFC, but I'm actually going to sit on it until we get on the plane. I'm going to see if I can wait all the way until Sunday, which is a whopping 72 hours, and not watch any episodes until we get on the plane.
I also fell asleep watching Netflix has the documentary series Trainwreck, where they did like Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did the... Travis Scott concert. Right. They just had their newest one. I think it's like one a week right now. And it was the Poop Cruise.
Poop Cruise.
Oh, I'm my God.
No chance.
If you were ever on the fence about going on a cruise, this will
like a norovirus outbreak on a cruise ship.
It was a cruise from Galveston to Mexico, across the Gulf of Mexico, and they lost power and they were just floating on this massive cruise ship.
It's doo-doo everywhere.
And because they lost power, the toilets stopped working. They said, if you have to go number one, use the shower. And they slipped red biohazard bags under the door of each little cabin.
For number two.
And the people that were interviewed were like, I'm not doing it. But it was like 4 days that they were stuck on this cruise. And then the drains started to back up because everyone was going pee-pee in the shower, and everything flooded.
It's like the old Oakland Coliseum.
Dude, it was ridiculous.
Imagine playing 81 games on that cruise.
Oh, God.
It looks terrible, dude. I have no...
These
no
documentaries design. Are like, oh, cool, I'm never
7
going.
Days, your wife says. 7.
Was it 7?
Not 4, 7. 7 days a week. Now, I basically, my bathroom was like a cruise ship for the last week. So I know. I've been there.
Drifting towards Mexico, and they're like, oh, we'll be fine. We'll be in Mexico tomorrow. And then they got power back. They got a cell service because another cruise ship drove by, and they were able to get Wi-Fi from that neighboring cruise ship.
For like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got they got cell service. They got a location, a ping, and they're like, you actually have drifted more towards Alabama, so you're going to just keep drifting to Mobile, Alabama, but... it's not going to be tomorrow like you thought you were going to be in Mexico. It's actually going to be another 3 or 4 days.
It's going to be next Wednesday.
And these people are just like, dude, oh my God. People are like, fights are breaking out. At one point, the cruise goes, you know what? Just give them all free booze to make them all happy. Oh, I'm like, that seems like a great idea.
We've got urine. We've got feces. Let's bring vomit into it. How about that? Anything else?
Dude.
I can think of a couple more fluids we haven't introduced to the whole to the whole place.
It was. But you watch those documentaries, that Trainwreck series, and you're like, cool, not going to any more music festivals.
Right.
Never going on a cruise ship.
Correct.
What's next?
I don't know. When those commercials play during the Padres games with the guy from Modern Family who's on the Norwegian cruises, and he's got the cucumbers on his eyes. Looks like the time of his life. Looks like he's having a lot of fun.
What you don't see is a turd running down next to him in someone's urine, just so you know. show. So there you go. I have no desire. I really don't. We entertained a Disney cruise for the kids for a while, and I just said, babe, I just can't do it. I just, please, if you want to go, I would actually say no. I kind of got it. I don't want you guys getting like sick or hurt or Taylor taking a header off of the crew. Like, just there's just so much that can go wrong in the middle of the ocean.
I do feel. I mean, I've never really done a real cruise, like as an adult at least. But I've always been tempted by the old all inclusive part
of it. Of course, you have. You know, like, yes. Like, you know who's a big cruise guy? Adam Kluge.
Pick different dining options every night.
Yes, I know.
It's all inclusive, and just you don't have to worry about it when you're on the ship, and get what you want, and enjoy yourself.
I get it. I know it's that fun. It would
I like
be...
a lot of the individual parts of a cruise. Like, I like the casino. I like buffets. I like sitting by the pool. But the idea of just being out on the water like that. My wife and I are looking into a European cruise, maybe in a couple of years, where you're only on the boat for like a day at the most.
Yeah.
You're just going port to port. And it's like Barcelona, the Italian coast, and I think Greece. I was like, I think I could probably get through that if you're only like, you're only on the ship like overnight. And then you wake up and you're in a new city and you get off and go walk around. I think I can handle that. But like 5 nights out on the open sea, I don't know that I just don't think I have the stomach for it.
I don't either. I'm not a seafarer at all.
Did you watch The Love Boat?
Yeah, of course.
It was kind of a low-key elite show.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Love The Love Boat.
Fantastic guest stars
always.
Every week.
Yeah.
Captain always had Stubing. Enough adventures on the boat.
Some pretty
and drama.
Girls on there. Yeah. It was
Gopher.
Great.
And
Gopher.
It's a good show.
It was a really good show. Loved it.
Good theme song.
Yeah. The Love Boat. Soon you'll be making it. What was the premise? You go...
Just... They were a cruise ship, and you know they went around with different guest stars doing different things every week.
I liked it a lot. I was more of a Fantasy Island guy.
That was a similar. It was actually a very similar show.
Yeah.
Different guest stars. They just come to an island instead of a boat every single week.
Him off the plane. I love it. I thought we're missing shows like that these days. Now we have. Now we have.
For adventure.
Now we have Love Island, which is become
a phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon. Love Island. They're actually doing. I should mention they're doing
casting
in San Diego here.
TV.
In San Diego
this week, I believe.
I want to say
might be today.
I want to say I sent Ben the flyer in case you wanted to go down and do bits. Here it is. Love
Ben
Island.
Auditioning for Love Island would maybe be the most elite content.
There would be
in the world.
Nothing better. But so they're, here's where they're casting. They're casting at the Jersey Shore. That's already passed. They're casting in Atlanta. That's already passed. Saturday, June 28th. That's this Saturday.
Oh, 2 days from now.
At Pacific Beach parking lot, 915 Felspar Street.
Love Pacific
You know, the
Beach parking,
parking lot down in Pacific Beach. Just go to Pacific Beach.
That's all
go to
says.
The parking
Pacific
lot.
Beach parking lot, 915 Felspar.
All right.
Yeah, 2 to 7. So if you want to go down there and join maybe the cast of Love Island for the next deal, then it's here in our city. And my wife watches it. It's all that plays in our home. And I tweeted something the other day. The dialogue is literally like, "Hey, how old are you?" And he's like, 21. Oh, me too. Oh, really? You're a baby. Yeah, totally. Me too. How are you? I'm good. And so I'm like, what are you watching?
Are there any middle-aged dudes on the show?
No,
or do I have no chance. Go down there?
It's okay. The weirdest. Like, what are we watching here? And then I saw, like, they're all sleeping in a bed, like, the same
room?
They
all have one room and the one bathroom that they have to share. But I was reading the rules because you sent this to me.
Yeah.
There's like, there's no nudity allowed. They only get 2 drinks a day and it's only beer or wine. So they can't just get completely
Is the purpose to find love?
I don't. Actually, no.
But then if they don't get coupled up, they get eliminated, essentially.
Yeah, it's...
But they don't get to go home. They have to, like, stay isolated until the show is over.
From what I've gathered, like, people will partner up because, like, you have to be coupled up to stick around. And people will couple up to play the game. They're like, hey, we don't even like each other. But we want to stick around another week.
You have to be coupled up to stick around.
And it's I think it's got, like, a little bit of Big
but
Brother
then they
aspect to it.
But introduce these bombshells
where...
that come in to,
yeah.
to like, break
Shake
up the couples
up.
And then
yeah.
someone gets
I haven't
tossed
watched
from
it.
The show.
Yeah. I know it airs, like, 5 nights a week.
Five nights
so
a week.
There's, it's like, You're just following them all throughout the week.
It's not live, though, right?
No, I tried to ask.
But it's happening right now. I think it is happening right now.
I was asking. I was like, what's the turnaround
it's
from,
like
film?
Like Big Brother, it wasn't live, but they would, you know, some of it was live, and then they would do mostly it was just highlights of what was happening during the day and the week.
I saw some comment on Blue Sky over the weekend or something. It was like, you know, there's a war going on in the Middle East, and these people on Love Island have no idea.
No idea.
Because it is, like, close to real
time.
Hey,
do you like... Do you wear shoes a lot?
Yeah, I love shoes.
Oh, that's cool. I like your hair.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like Morgan Wallen's. It's dope. And my mustache, too. It's cool.
Yeah, so cool. I like shoes. And when you eat, do you use like a fork or a knife?
Whatever it calls for. I mean, it's like a bunch of morons on an island together. And I'm sitting there going, this is why we're cooked. You know, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I didn't save it, but that podcast clip from the Hawk Tua podcast, where we played it, and it was like, that's a nice sweater.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Who got that for you? Who got it for you?
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Looks great. Thanks. You said that.
Man, art is really suffering right now. We need good art. We really do.
Seems like a good time to get us into Don't Do This. We'll check traffic. We'll come back. Get to our Don't Do This stories for the day. Keep it rolling. We got Sammy Levitt at the bottom of the hour as well. So we got to take a time out. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Hey, do you like California-style blackjack?
I think I do.
Do you? Cool. I do, too. It's cool. Hit me.
I like Kung Pao chicken.
Oh, I love Kung Pao chicken.
Been hankering for it off the 24.
What's hankering mean? I've never heard of that word.
I got to get back to 7 Mile Casino, have a good meal at Sammy's, get the Kung Pao chicken off the 24/7 players menu. It's available any time of the day when you go down there. And then enjoy San Diego's most upscale, comfortable, and close card room at 7 Mile Casino.
Lots of love about 7 Mile Casino. A little oasis. Right off the 5 there. 7 minutes
almost
from
like
downtown.
An island.
Almost like an island, if you will. Fewer people like that. Just a really good place. Great food, as you mentioned. Great views. Much like Love Island as well. Great views of the bay. But it's a smoke-free environment. Place you can go. You can go for 15 minutes. You can go for 3 hours. They're going to take care of you there. So, so much fun. Every time we go to 7 Mile, they got all the card games that you love. California-style blackjack, Pai Gow, Texas Hold'em, and Baccarat.
And enjoy the buffet this week, or the brunch. Not the buffet, but the brunch, which is the best in the South County. Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So much to love at 7 Mile Casino. Just 7 minutes from downtown.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get right to it. DDT brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. The NBA draft was last night.
Yes.
It's hard to follow. I mean, everyone knew Cooper Flagg was going number one. Congratulations.
So watch that. We were eating dinner. We saw the first pick.
I even didn't know a lot of the players. I mean, two players from Rutgers went in the top 5.
Yeah.
Rutgers didn't even have a winning record last year. I had no idea who those guys were.
Yeah.
Half of the guys are from Europe, so you don't really know them either.
Right.
Chris Ella was saying they have a bit of an identification problem in the NBA draft now. I mean, can't really change anything about it. They're looking for the best players. But they're also having trouble identifying players on their own broadcast.
Correct.
So this was, let's see, who was the pick here?
Talk about a surprise for a radio host.
Cedric Coward from Washington State was selected by the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Cedric, C-E-D-R-I-C.
Cedric.
Coward,
C-O-W-A-R-D. Okay. Coward.
Familiar word, not a super common last name, but Cedric Coward was picked, and here is what it sounded like on the ESPN broadcast. You had a little bit of trouble with the name.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here.
Okay.
This is a young man.
That's an odd pick.
Colin Coward.
He's really...
Cowherd.
He's really good in the paint. He can really bring it in the paint. Colin Cowherd.
Slip of the tongue.
I would like Freudian to drive... slip. Mike Francesca, please. My God.
Cooper Mad Dog Flag.
So bad. So bad. I got another one. This is gnarly. So we obviously told you about the Ketel Marte situation yesterday. And, yeah, man, it's an epidemic in baseball now. And really in all sports. And this is shared by Garrett. He's a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. She posted on her Instagram, examples of DMs our family received this week, myself included. I do not share this for pity, only to raise awareness. Think twice before you heckle or hit send. No one should have to deal with this in any work setting. Leave people's families out of it. The line should not be crossed. Here's a couple. I'll just read you a couple. My under became over. I hope your son dies.
Reasonable.
I hope you get drilled in your mouth with a 110-mile-an-hour line drive that busts and splits your lips wide open, needing stitches, knocks your teeth out of your mouth, breaks your nose and jaw, gives you a nasty, mind-boggling, violent concussion, and then to see you in so much pain you can't even see straight, getting dragged off the field with blood pouring out of your mouth, you rat scumbag creep. I wish I could torture you to death, you F-word.
Well, at least he kept the kids out of it.
Yeah, right. If you died right now, nothing would change in the world. Effing R. Hang yourself. Worthless.
Oh, my God.
Blank blanker. I mean, it's...
Bro. You know, half the people won because that happened, too.
That's
so
true.
Where's all the happy DMs?
That's true. Hey, thanks for hitting the over and strikeouts. It's embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing.
It's awful.
Embarrassing.
I actually have a don't do this that turns into a do do this. So, Polly, if you just give me the...
DD mega doo doo.
Starts with the don't do this from George Pickens, the receiver who was traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Dallas Cowboys this offseason. Seemed to be a bit of a malcontent in Pittsburgh. Well, it sounded like he was going to do the right thing. So they had a kids' youth football camp that Pickens was set to host. And even after he was traded, he said, oh, yeah, no, I'll still do it. Cool. Good on you. And then at the last minute, he changed his mind and backed out, which sucks. Maybe he has his reasons. Maybe it's a bad look, though, certainly, and the Steelers weren't happy about it. But congratulations to Pat Freiermuth, who stepped in, tight end, I believe, for the Steelers, who stepped in last minute and hosted the camp, and I'm sure the kids were very happy to get a real NFL player, even though it wasn't George Pickens.
So they booked him in the camp when he was still a Steeler. Then he goes to Dallas.
Yeah, and it's fine. I think if that point, and they said, and they asked him, are you still going to do the camp? And he said, I'm not a Steeler anymore.
Right.
He said he was going to still do it,
he
changed his mind like last minute.
That's a bummer.
Left him in the lurch.
Good for his team.
Step up.
Like it.
And that's don't and do this for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we will come back. In-season Sammy, Sam Levitt, just finished a stretch of 26 days.
Boy,
27
Sammy.
Days, 26 games. That's 52 pre- and post-game shows.
Woo!
Finally has a day off to do whatever he wants.
Coming on the radio.
And he's going to come on the radio with us.
Not the round table, though, huh?
I hope not. If he was doing the round table, we'd probably have him on at 9:35 when he's here. So I said, hey, are you doing the round table? He goes, Adam hasn't asked me yet.
Even Adam has enough sense not to ask. I think he does.
Does he ask
Sammy to come in after 52 pre- and post-game shows in the last 27 days to not come in and do the round table. But he's going to join us.
How many hours of radio? We've done over 100 hours of radio in that 26-day stretch.
Easily.
True.
Come on.
What's one more?
All right. It's on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, listen, guys, before we go to break here, I wanted to tell you about my beloved folks over at QC Kinetics. Woke up this morning feeling great, actually. Went to the gym the last 2 days, lifting heavier than I ever have because I can, thanks to QC Kinetics now. I couldn't a few years back with a very, very severe, nasty pain in my wrists. It hurt to do literally anything. I had trouble sleeping, had trouble doing anything at all, and it really ruined my days. And I went to QC Kinetics, got the treatments, And my life's been so much better ever since playing baseball, you know, playing golf occasionally, being able to play with my kids every single day, play the guitar, all the things I love to do. So if you're missing out on life, is what it is, the things that you love to do, your biking, your hiking, your surfing, your swimming, whatever it may be, QC Kinetics can help you if you're missing out on those things. If you've got serious, serious pain in your joints, they are not masking the pain. They're going after the very source of it. Please give them a call. Will not cost you a dime to get to call today. You get a free consultation. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. Find out if you're a good candidate, all right, for their cellular level treatments. The consultation, again, is free. Two locations. Torrey Hills, Hillcrest, 619-614-PAIN. They are QC Kinetics.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Amazon. Okay, I've got some good news, and I've got some great news. The good news is that Prime Day is almost here. The great news, this year you'll have 4 days to find deals on all of your favorite things. Shop Prime Day July 8th through the 11th. Those people on Love who like to wear shoes, they can buy shoes.
I like shoes.
I wonder if Sam Levitt's a Love Island. Yeah, he's kind of the demo.
I'm going to guess, yes.
I'm also going to guess.
He's been very busy, though.
That's I'm going to guess day. He hasn't gotten into it yet, but plans to.
Okay.
We'll find out. And probably talk a little Padres as well. With Sam Levitt, in-season Sammy joins us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us right now, the man who has hosted 52 pre- and post-game shows over the last 27 days, he is our Sam Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Sammy. Love Island, yes or no?
No.
No.
I do not watch Love Island. It does seem like a show that would be right up my alley because they do sometimes, every once in a while, get into Love is Blind, depending on the season and time of year. But no, I have never seen Love Island.
Okay. Well, I was wrong. I thought you might enjoy it. And maybe you would. But you've been
probably would.
You've been very busy, Sammy. Very busy.
I have. And I really don't watch that much TV. I mean, I watch a show every now and then, but I don't stream a lot of shows, period. Even when I have more time. So I'm really not the biggest TV guy, but Love Island, a reality show, would be kind of up my alley if I were to enjoy a show.
What
so you're onto that.
What do you do if you're not watching a lot of TV?
If I do watch TV, I tend to watch like my YouTube TV, right? So I'll flip through the channels, watch the local news so I can get the latest headlines from Ben Higgins.
Thank you.
100%. When he's anchoring the news, doing
tonight.
A great job.
Tonight.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah.
With a tie on. It looks great.
Thank you.
That's a great question. I mean, like, I'll tell you what I did last night. Okay, I had a free night. I went to the OB Farmers Market. Well, first I had to do a little bit of work here, upload the podcast and whatnot. Got home around 6.
Right.
Watched the rest of some of the NBA draft. Then I went to the OB Farmers Market and got some dinner. I sat outside, ate dinner. I was by the fire circle for a little bit. Enjoyed that. Okay. Ate my dinner. Okay. Ate a little cannoli for dessert.
Oh.
and went home and cleaned up my apartment. So I didn't do a whole lot. Put it this way. I don't typically like sit and watch TV a lot, like watch a show. I will watch sports or whatever, or MLB Network or whatever it is while doing some work on my laptop, on my phone. But it's very atypical of me to sit down and watch a television show start to finish.
He's very disciplined.
He's a doer, though.
He's a doer.
And I think that's something,
I am a doer.
I think something younger generations are better at than we maybe were growing up. Just going out and like doing more
stuff.
Things. Or at least making it look on social media like you're doing things. That's also a skill.
That's a skill.
So you're not necessarily always doing things, but you're really good at making it look like you're doing a lot of things on social media at
that
age.
Sure. Yes. Absolutely. It's all about the appearance. You know, for us younger generation,
right.
which maybe is something I do and something I got to be better of, not worrying about appearance, but just living in the moment, you know?
I love that, Sammy. It's deep thoughts here with Ben and Woods on a Thursday. We got our pal Sammy Levitt. So 13-13, Sammy, you know, Ben's already been accused of celebrating mediocrity. I've already, I think, been called a turd polisher. To look at this team and the struggles that they've had and to come through that stretch, dead even, having to win the last two games in very dramatic fashion and nail-biting fashion, it's hard for me to not give them credit. I'm sorry. I would say this if I worked across the street. I would. I would say it if I worked anywhere else. Doesn't matter. I've told you when they stunk, because they have stunk at times. I was impressed by the 13-13. You know, call me a homer, whatever. But when I look at the patchwork nature of this lineup, the patchwork nature of the starting rotation at times, 13-13 was exactly what we needed them to do.
I think you're right. I mean, I think there are a few different pieces to it. A, the difficulty of the schedule, both in the way it was set up with the 26 and 27, and also the quality of opponent. You had games against the Giants. You had a four-game series against the Giants. You had seven games against the Dodgers. It's the series against the Diamondbacks. The list goes on. In fact, when I was looking at it yesterday, 20 out of the 26 games, you could say were against pretty good teams, yep. Certainly not bad teams. The only teams in that stretch that I think you could say are really like bad teams are the Nationals, yep. Even though they have talent, the Nationals and the Pirates. Other than that, the other 20 were against pretty good, as the minimum, pretty good teams and some great teams as well. And look, I think the part of it too is just dealing with the injuries and dealing with the state of the pitching and the bullpen showing some cracks. I'm totally with you. I think all things considered, 13-13 was perfectly fine. And what it gives me, even though the record is a little bit different, the situation has been a little bit different, I think so far this first half, you've had some vibes after the really hot start of this team just sort of treading water, much like they did through 100 games last year when they were 50-50. It's looked a little different, but I do think there are similarities. But I'm totally right there with you. I think 13-13 is solid enough to be happy with, and you wake up this morning tied for a playoff spot. All things considered, it's not all ideal, but I think it could have gone a whole lot worse for sure.
Sammy, you mentioned the pitching injuries. What is the sense you get on how the Padres will deal with the absence of Ryan Burgert now the next mm-hmm. couple of times through the rotation?
Well, I think what's interesting is based on what was said yesterday, it doesn't sound like they believe Burgert is going to be out for long. It doesn't sound like this is hopefully going to be a long-term thing. This hopefully will be miss a couple of starts kind of situation. So with that in mind, you know, I think the obvious thing would just be to call up a Matt Waldron and have him make a start on Monday, something like that. What Kyle Hart is down there throwing. I mean, if you want to give him another shot, at least for another start or two, I would suppose that is an option. I thought the idea that you guys brought up earlier about a bullpen day, when you now have guys in that bullpen, multiple that can give you innings, right? We've seen Sean Reynolds give him three innings. We've seen, and now Brian Hoeing's back, and he's already built up to go multiple innings. So that's an interesting way to look at it. Could it be a decision where they look at where their bullpen is at by the end of Saturday and say, we think we can piece it together for a start, and especially with an off day coming up on Thursday again, I think that would be a possibility as well. But I know they've got a guy in Braden Nett down there that's doing really well and the organization is really high on. You know, I don't know that you're giving him that opportunity unless you think he's going to be able to make some consecutive starts in the major leagues. And I would think there would be the possibility they want that to be more of a real permanent move type of thing to give him a real chance because he's been so good and I think they're so high on him. So I would think it'll be a temporary fix in the rotation, whether that is a bullpen day or Waldron or Hart or something like that. And again, you made the point of Nets not of having a clear 40-man spot, which also makes it more difficult. But I don't believe they view the Burgert injury as long-term, which makes me think it's going to be either a spot starter for a starter two, or maybe even go with a bullpen day, considering I do think you have the personnel that would maybe make that a possibility.
When's Burger's turn in the rotation?
Monday. And then his what next about- one would be Saturday, which I think he would be eligible to come back off the injured list on that Saturday. So if it's really just a bruise, he may just miss the one start, possibly.
Well, so it's such a big 48 hours, call it, today, tomorrow. And we'll talk to the skipper, Mike Schilt, tomorrow at 8 a.m., new time, 8 a.m. Obviously, you know, probably the first question is, how's Yu Darvish feeling after his rehab start in Lake Elsinore? Because, you know, if he feels good, that's it. If he feels good, they're not going to have him throw, you know, waste more bullets going.
I mean, 51 pitches yesterday.
Right.
You know, Otani came back just to throw one inning. I mean, you could ask you to throw 60 pitches if he comes back, too.
Exactly.
I'd be surprised. But
could line up in Philly.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, I'd say.
Yeah, guys, I'm happy you brought that up because I agree with you. I think that's the wild card in all of this because I do think you get to a point with Yu Darvish. And when I got the numbers from the simulated game yesterday and it said 51 pitches, I said to myself, I said, wow. I said, that's a lot of pitches. And to me, the next step at minimum would be going back on an actual rehab assignment. But then you start thinking about it and you're like, you know, does there come a point with Darvish if he's ready to throw pitches in a game with players around him and against a team not affiliated with the Padres? Does it just make sense to, you know, to just get him out there and let him build up in the major leagues if he feels like the stuff is ready for it? So I think that's an interesting idea. I don't know, to be honest with you, how much in the realm of possibility that is or not. I would assume the next day or two for you is very, very important as far as his recovery. We know that that's been an issue, right, about him feeling the right way after these outings. So I would assume that is something of a possibility. And I think at some point, you know, if Yu Darvish is going to come back here, that maybe you just want him to be in a big league game and build up that way if he feels physically ready for it. So that would be the wild card, because when I saw the pitch number yesterday and I saw 51, I said to myself, wow, so that's a lot of pitches. I mean, that means you could be in a big league game and get up to 60, 65 pitches next start, which I think, you know,
take it, right?
Take it and run with it. And especially, let's say on a Monday, if your bullpen's in a spot with guys who can go multiple innings where, hey, you know, let's say he can only go 2+3 innings. You know what? You've got some guys that can cover that. And quite frankly, you know, you don't know that the results are going to be any better with a Matt Waldron in there, right? Who you haven't seen in the major leagues in a long time. So I'm with you. I think that's absolutely a wild card in the situation as well.
Sammy, enjoy your day off. You'll be back tomorrow, 3:10 pregame show. Padres and Reds, Dylan Cease against old friend Nick Martinez, I believe, is that first matchup. So we will we'll hear you from again tomorrow.
Yeah, and Reds are playing well. I will say this before I go. You know, we talked about the schedule. I don't think the schedule is a whole lot easier until the All-Star break. So this is, again, going to be a very, very important stretch through the break. So now, enjoy the trip to Philadelphia, guys. Yeah.
Thank you. You're right. This is a tough road trip. Even though the Padres won't be facing that nasty kid, Chase Burns, and they're not going to have to face Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott, who is scheduled to pitch game two, I feel like he absolutely shoved against the Padres. Lefty, and then another lefty who's been really good in Nick Lodolo on Sunday is how it's lining up right now with Randy Vasquez and Stephen Kolick scheduled to pitch. So, yeah, the Reds, and I think Jeff Passan tweeted about this yesterday as well. Reds are a team that a lot of people are overlooking right now, but they may be as well positioned to make a run in the second half as just about anybody in this massively packed in National League wild card race. So this is a kind of a low key one of the bigger series for the Padres coming up is this one against the Cincinnati Reds, because this may be a team they're battling with late in the season for a playoff spot.
They're just all big right now. Everything. I mean, there's just so many teams in it. It's hard for me to look down the schedule and go, that's not important. You know, these are, you can lose a couple of these. This is it. You feel like really here in late June, almost July, this is the time. Usually most of the time you feel like, oh, you know, we'll be all right. Weather get to the All-Star break. This is like, no, man, you can't. These are wild card foes right now. You have to beat these guys.
And while the Phillies are currently leading the division, that could always change if the Mets get hot again. So you might be battling them for a wild card spot. You did at least pull even with the Giants. Padres now in a tie for second place, have the tiebreaker, quote unquote. So when you look at the standings, when Paulie did the wrap up, saw the Padres in second place again, which was nice to see. The Giants have been actually worse with Rafael Devers than they were before, which is odd. You don't think
the Red
that's
Sox have
hold,
been way worse though?
Yeah, both teams got worse with that trade. Yeah. Congratulations, that's a bad trade for both teams. We'll come back, reset things. Eno Saris in hour number three next on the Fan.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.